Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the program. Hope you had a great three-day weekend. Hope you enjoyed Labor Day. Hopefully you got the day off as well. And we were live, if you missed us yesterday because you were doing family stuff for a party, we're glad you're with us today. We do this each day, 11 a.m. here on the Big X and streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. Glad you're with us. A lot to get to coming out of a three-day weekend. I mentioned this a couple times yesterday on the program, but there's no question about it. Sports drought is over. There is college football. There is high school football, which is now in full swing. We're getting more back into basketball recruiting with visits being set and even taken at this point by some of the top prospects Indiana is after. And Hoosier hysteria on the basketball side of things just around the corner. So we are moving and shaking at a high rate of speed. Before you know it, we're going to be in November and basketball season will fully be here. And it will be the topic of conversation each day. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. News and headlines. We've got our Hoosier headlines here of the day, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill of Jeffersonville. Those coming up here in segment one. We've got a lot of things to take a look at, including Josh Rogers of New Albany. Another great pitching performance. He didn't get the win this time. A narrow 2-1 loss out in Seattle last night, but he pitched a good game. We'll give you his stat line and more on that coming up. Also in the headlines today, some recruiting stuff from IU football stuff to take a look at, so stay with us for that. Headlines in the first segment each day are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Later in the program, segment two, we'll be joined by Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, the great columnist, very opinionated, very funny. You just never know where our chat, where our segment might go. And Greg comes to us on Tuesdays presented by Coffee Crossing. He'll be with me coming up next. Also, later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, he will join us. We'll recap more on the IU-Florida International game coming out of the weekend. Indiana gets the win. A little bit of a tricky game, tricky environment on the road down in Miami. Indiana gets the win. However, some not-so-good news for the Hoosiers as far as football goes. Cole Guest with a season-ending ACL tear. He's going to be out for the season. Indiana missing some key guys early in the year, no question about it. So we'll cover some of that with Mike Pegram when he joins us today. And that's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mitch in the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, on Friday nights, we've got Kentuckiana Football Fridays here on the Big X Sports Radio. We're still a number of days out from week four. Can you believe it? Week four of high school football. And I am really excited about these next couple weeks, specifically some of the matchups we have on the Southern Indiana side of high school football. And we'll be talking with all the coaches and getting you prepared for those coming up each Friday. But don't forget Friday nights. If you're at a game, not at a game, out and about, starting at 6 o'clock, we have wall-to-wall coverage of high school football in Kentuckiana. It starts at 6 with the kickoff show, which is from 6 to 7. 7 o'clock on, we've got multiple reporters, play-by-play opportunities from different games across the area. And when everything goes final, we have scores and highlights from both sides of the river, a lot of call-in reports from media members and coaches after they get wins. And basically, it's about 5.5 hours or more of local coverage on high school football every Friday. It's different. It's something that's never been done. We tested it last year. We're moving forward with it this year, and we want to make sure you remember to join us each and every Friday night here on the Big X for high school football coverage. Again, at the very fullest, we're covering everything in the area. Even if it's a game we don't have a play-by-play crew at, we'll have a call, we'll have a score, we'll have constant updates about it, so make sure you're with us Friday nights. Let's take a look at the Hoosier headlines for this Tuesday. Hard to believe we're into September, September 4th already, coming out of the holiday weekend. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. That's what the headlines are each day, and it's kind of how we set the show for you here on the Hoosier Report. Let's look at the headlines for today. None bigger than Josh Rogers, New Albany graduate, played obviously a standout baseball career there, played freshman and senior year as far as basketball goes at New Albany, had a great career at Louisville. He's been no stranger to this show. He's been joining us even since his final years, days at the U of L baseball program, I should say. But he gets his second ever appearance in Major League Baseball last night. He got a win over Toronto about a week and a half ago. He got his second appearance. It was a start as well. Out in Seattle last night, and really it's a solid performance. I know obviously you're all pulling, we're all pulling for the hometown guy to do well, but when you take a look at his line, even though the Orioles came up short 2-1, he had, let's see here, allowed 2 earned runs, just 4 hits, he walked only 2, he struck out 4, and he did all of that in 5 1/3 innings. Here's the best thing I thought of the night: 80 pitches is what he threw in 5 1/3 innings. First off, I thought that was pretty good. But of the 80 he threw, 50 of those 80 were strikes. He had a great breaking ball again last night. I was watching the Orioles side of the broadcast, so you get a little bit more commentary on Josh and what the team's at, where they're at, why they're there. And they had some really good things to say about him both before and after his performance last night. So everybody wants to know, that's been the question. Hey, you know, he's got a couple starts. He's looked pretty good. What's next for him? Is he going to have to go back to minor leagues, AAA, to start the season? Because it has been said, and Buck Showalter, the Orioles' longtime manager, he said this, that this would be Josh's last game. No matter how it went, he's pitched a ton of innings. When you look back at what all he's done this year as far as baseball opportunities, and of course starting with Scranton, the Yankees AAA affiliate, being traded back in July to Norfolk, to the Orioles organization, made some starts there. But he's got a lot of innings. They obviously track every pitch, every inning from a pitcher, and that this would be it for him. So he is expected to stay with the team for the remainder of the season. Obviously, the Orioles, I think they're 56 or 57 games back from making the playoffs, so way, way, way out of contention. But he'll get to finish up the season with them, make that big league and pay, get a taste of that big league environment, and then I think, you know, he's set himself up to maybe have a chance to make the 40-man roster coming out of spring training for the Orioles. They're obviously struggling majorly with their pitching. Josh is the only left-hander that they have on the major league roster, and I think even in the AAA level, he's one of the only left-handers that they have access to right now. And on top of that, he looked really good against Toronto. He looked solid last night, even though he did get the loss in the game last night. So let's see what happens. But wouldn't it be neat if we had a local kid playing Major League Baseball right out of the gate, right out of spring training, that we could follow all season long? And keep in mind as well, you've got Drew Ellis, who is doing good things in the organization of the Diamondbacks, one of their prospects that maybe has a chance next year to increase his standing on what level of baseball he's playing. So some interesting things to follow. Josh Rogers takes the cake right now as far as local guys headed to professional baseball, and we'll see what happens. Obviously, he'll get some time off coming up. He'll head to spring training, which he's done the last couple of years, but going to be interesting to follow him and see where this leads him. It may not just lead to a couple starts or an opportunity here and there in Major League Baseball. This could lead. He's on path maybe to have a career, and again, a starting role as far as from the very beginning of the season with the Orioles next season. So job well done by Josh Rogers this year, no question about that. A couple recruiting headlines. We're starting to see younger players, like not 2019, not senior guys, make and set some official visit dates, and that's because of the new NCAA rules where coaches can now prospects, I should say, can now take more than just the five official visits. Ethan Morton, he's from Butler Area Senior High School, Butler, Pennsylvania. He's in the top 50 of most national rankings out there in the 2020 class, which means he's a junior now. He's 6'5", 180 pounds, just took an unofficial visit to Ohio State, got some other trips planned, including an official visit to Purdue on September 14th, coming up here in a few weekends. Later in September, he's also going to visit Indiana as well. Michigan, Stanford, Northwestern, Pitt will get some sort of visit, whether it be official or unofficial from him over the next month and a half, 2 months through the end of October. But Indiana in with Morton, a obviously connection back to Pennsylvania where the Archie Miller and family are from, so will be interesting to follow that one. Keon Brooks is fresh off of his visit to UCLA over the weekend. He announced coming out of the visit yesterday that he has set another official visit now for North Carolina. He is going to visit Chapel Hill. He said he was there as an eighth grader when he went to one of Chris Paul's camps, but he's going to take a visit to North Carolina right before the high school season officially begins on November 2nd is his current plan. So Brooks will hit Indiana next at Hoosier Hysteria, and then an opportunity to see North Carolina later before high school basketball starts as well. A couple other notes to get to here in the headline segment. This is a couple football notes, and Jeff Rabjohns tweeted this out. I found this interesting. One Power 5 conference team in 2017, had two freshmen each with more than 400 yards rushing. That was Indiana. Indiana had Morgan Ellison and Cole Guest, both with more than 400 yards in rushing. Now they're both out. We knew Ellison with some disciplinary problems a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. He's out, suspended indefinitely by the program. Cole Guest, it was announced in Tom Allen's press conference on Monday, a torn ACL. He is going to miss the rest of the season. Some big losses for Indiana as they gear up for a solid Virginia team at home on Saturday. Going to be interesting to see how deep they are, how they fill some of these gaps with a couple big players that were expected to do, again, big things, especially when you look at what they did as freshmen just a year ago, now out for Indiana. I found this interesting as well. Saw this on Twitter, of course. Jim Harbaugh talking about Michigan here, 8-8 in his last 16 games at Michigan. Jim Harbaugh, 8-8 in his last 16 games at Michigan. In that same period of time, number of games, Ohio State, 14-2 in their last 16 games. Wisconsin, 15-1. Penn State, 13-3. No question about it that Harbaugh having some struggles at Michigan when it comes to keeping Michigan in that top tier of the Big Ten Conference with the Ohio States, the Wisconsins, the Penn States. Going to be really interesting to see what happens, and obviously things didn't get off to a great start over the weekend either. Going to be really interesting to see what happens with Harbaugh and Michigan moving forward. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturdays. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is next, presented by Coffee Crossing, after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with us Tuesdays in this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once the kids are safely at school at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg is with us. We're going to start talking some college football headlines out of the first major weekend of college football. I think you were at Notre Dame, Michigan, had a column on that game, and always a fun place to watch a football game, no question about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as I'm, and this is serious, as I'm driving up there, I'm thinking to myself, when is Coffee Cross? When is Coffee Cross going to come up to Indy? I know you guys, you know, there's a bunch of locations. Come up here because I need a coffee on the road. So that was a little bit irritating to me. I had to get McDonald's, whatever. Yeah, it's always fun to be at something with the history and tradition of Notre Dame. What's not fun is the post-game drive. I mean, the game's over at 11. I was right until midnight, and there's so many people there, and the town is so small that I was still in game traffic. Couldn't leave. So a little bit frustrating there, but anyway. Notre Dame is they're not as good as last year. They're not supposed to be as good as last year. They lost, you know, three first-round type talents. Josh Adams, I don't think, won the first round, the running back, but he's really good, and they lost two top-ten offensive linemen. So they're not what they were, but they're pretty good.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. On that game, the Michigan side of things, I said this in our first segment today. Jim Harbaugh, 8-8 in his last 16 games at Michigan. During that same time period, Ohio State 14-2, Wisconsin 15-1, Penn State 13-3. As far as the blue bloods of the conference go, there's no question about it. Things have slipped at Michigan.
Yeah, and that blows me away. You know, he started out fast, which is what he does everywhere. He goes somewhere and he wins. He goes places that haven't been winning and wins more. You know, that's what he's everywhere he's been. He's won more than they won before, even though he was inheriting in every spot. You know, there's a reason you got hired. You got hired because the last guy stunk and this program stinks, and you come and he won. So he's, and sure enough, in Michigan, his first year, he's pretty good. Second year, I think he's 10-3 or something. I mean, there was a time, and I don't completely go against that anymore, but there was a time about 3 years ago when I was pretty sure, you know, Nick Saban's the best coach in America, college. But Harbaugh's second. Maybe Urban Meyer, but Harbaugh's third. There's nobody else. And the third best coach in America doesn't go 8-8 at Michigan over any 16-game stretch ever. So I'm really surprised by that, and it doesn't make sense. You know, what makes sense is that Harbaugh goes somewhere. He's so good and so demanding. I mean, and so, you know, pushes so hard, and he's so Jim Harbaugh that he's going to burn himself out and burn everybody else out around him. The program will be better off when he leaves than when he showed up because he's that good. But everybody's going to be happy he's gone just because, you know, he's just so intense. That's not what's happening in Michigan. I have no idea if the day comes, if he leaves, people will be happy that he's gone. I don't know. But he's not winning like he normally wins. And frankly, of every program he's ever taken over, so University of San Diego, the 49ers, Stanford, and now this one, this is the easiest one on paper compared to who you're dealing with. You know, the NFL has parity. Stanford's tough place to win. San Diego didn't exist almost before he got there. This is the one where it should be easy, and it's not, and I don't understand why.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Is his, and I haven't followed it as closely, and maybe you haven't either, but is his job on the line this year, or is this something that if this trend continues, maybe not this year, but a season from now, we'll be talking about that?
I would think next season is the year. I think it's too soon. Now, listen, you know, 3-9 changes everything, but 3-9 is not going to happen in Michigan. The thing is, they finally have a quarterback. They've been dealing with quarterback issues since he got there, and they finally have a guy that on paper, Shea Patterson, what he did at Ole Miss, really, really good. And he was okay the night against Notre Dame. He wasn't really, really good. You could maybe explain away some stuff in the past. They've, you know, musical chairs at QB, and this guy's the real deal, but I don't, like I say, if the roof caves in, anything's possible. But I would think next year, let's just assume they have another year like last year, 8-5, 9-4, that kind of year. He doesn't get fired for that. But I would expect maybe next year the heat might be on. Like, you got to do more than that. I mean, he's an alum, so that might buy him a little more time than somebody else. But nothing lasts forever, and he's not winning enough to stay forever, but I think it's too soon this year.
Greg, let's talk about Indiana coming out. I know you didn't get to obviously be at the game. I'm not sure if you were able to go back and watch it or not, but I thought a good win for Indiana. It wasn't a great start. They got down early 7-0, but from that point, for the most part, there were some positives to take away. I liked the quarterback situation with Ramsey and Penix both getting a number of snaps and both getting opportunities to show what they could do. I thought there were positives from both. One thing that's not good about Indiana football is some of their key players that they're missing. I did not realize this. I said this in the opening segment today as well. Morgan Ellison out. We knew that going into the season for some off-the-field stuff. Cole Guest now out with an ACL tear. Those guys are sophomores. As freshmen, they had 400 yards or more rushing. Indiana was the only one Power 5 conference team had that last year. So it's really an amazing stat. And two key sophomores for this team gone. I mean, out for the year, or I don't know about Ellison, but it looks like he's going to be gone for a while.
Yeah, I think Ellison's out 4 games, I think.
4 games.
Don't quote me on that, although maybe, but I think it's that kind of thing. The problem when you're Indiana, and you know, same at Purdue and really at most schools, is that you don't have the kind of depth where you lose a guy, you just plug someone else in. Like, Michigan ought to be able to lose a guy and plug someone else in. Alabama does do that. The great programs do. The Indianas of the world, their health is paramount because their first teamers might be pretty good and probably should be pretty good, but their second, there's going to be a big drop-off because you just can't. You're Indiana. You can't. You're not going to get somebody really good to come sit the bench. A really great player will go to Florida State and maybe lose a job, but he's, you know, he'll be at Florida State and he'll get ready for the NFL there. But you're not in really good players in Indiana. You're coming to start. If you're not starting, you're leaving. So that's a problem. And it's a confounded or doubled by the fact their running back situation wasn't all that good to begin with. That stat you gave about a couple guys, 400 yards, whatever it is, I didn't know it. And the reason I didn't know it is that I don't care. Those two guys, I guess I hate it, torn ACL, that's terrible. It's terrible. But their running back room wasn't like, it wasn't a strength. So when you lose two of your best three or four guys, and maybe your best two, I'm not sure, that's a major, major problem, especially, I mean, period. But it doesn't help that you've got, you know, young quarterbacks, whichever one it is, that need as much heat taken off them as possible, and now it just got tougher. Having said that, that was a very good win. And because I told you last week, you know, don't be surprised if they don't win this game, because that's no joke. It's no joke going on the road playing a team from South Florida in South Florida, coached by a former NFL guy, Butch Davis. That is no joke. So to win that game, very encouraging.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest, talking college football to begin the segment. Virginia comes to Bloomington this week. I just started reading through the game notes that we got yesterday and looking into that contest a little bit. That's going to be, even though it's the home opener, it's going to be very much a challenge for Indiana as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, any Power 5 school is a challenge. Most of them. And Virginia's no exception. So that's a – this is – I like their schedule. You know, FIU is not a Power 5 team, but going on the road, that win means – it means something. It doesn't mean everything, but it means something. And now their first home game isn't against some directional school from Illinois. It's Virginia. I like it. I mean, it's tough. It's not – you know, it's not brutal. You're not playing Alabama, but – you don't have to schedule Virginia, but they did. So I like it. It is another game they can lose. FIU is a game you can lose. Like, usually when you're Indiana and Purdue, again, I'm not trying to dog anybody, when you're small schools like that, you schedule easy wins your non-conference because you know that because you're Indiana, because you're Purdue, because you have the recruiting issues that I described earlier with the depth, you might not win a ton of games in the conference, so you better go 3-4-0 in non-conference just so the season looks pretty good at the year's end. You didn't do that, and I like that. Might bite them, but it hadn't bit them yet.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. One more college football item I want to talk about, and then I want to get to basketball quickly for a minute. Well, you and I talked about this kid because he's from New Albany when he committed to Purdue a number of months, or flipped his commitment, I should say, to Purdue back in the offseason, and that's Rondale Moore. He went on to have a tremendous, as expected, high school football career at Trinity across the river in Louisville, and committed to Texas. That looked to be where he was going to go, where he was going to play his college football. Flipped it a little bit later. There's great connections between Brom and Louisville, Brom and Trinity. And my goodness, I know it was Northwestern in that opening game. I know it wasn't Power 5 type, you know, major. They're in the Power 5 conference, but I know it wasn't a major team, but it's Northwestern football, and they're solid, and they're in the mix in the Big Ten. They're not bad. He destroyed them.
Well, Northwestern went 10-3 last year, went 6-7-2, I think, in the league, and they've won 10 games two out of the last 3 years, and their coach, Pat Fitzgerald, is big-time legit. That's a big-time win. That is. Northwestern... I mean, that's not the Northwestern you and I grew up on when you know, watching college football on Saturdays and scores are coming across and someone's beating Northwestern 72-3. That's not what they are. And that was a great win for Purdue. And for Rondale Moore, I mean, that was, you know, he's not, I guess Northwestern maybe doesn't have Alabama-type athletes, but he was far and away the best athlete on the field. I mean, far and away. And, I mean, he's going to be the best athlete on the field in a lot of games. I mean, he'll be in the NFL someday. He's not very big, but he'll at the very least get he'll have a shot at the NFL. I mean, he's played one college game, but I already know he'll be in training camp somewhere and might be drafted, might be a high draft pick. We'll see how it goes. He's special, and he's so special, in fact, that you know when I'm covering college football games at night, deadline's tough, and I start writing, and I'm looking down, and my play-by-play goes by the wayside by about the third quarter, just because I got to write, and I can't do it all, so I don't. But whenever, and I take my glasses off when I write, because you know, like a lot of folks do, I see better with my glasses off when I'm writing. So every time I heard the name Rondale Moore on TV, or I could tell the other team was about to kick off, or anything like that, I'm like jerking my glasses back. I got to watch. He's must-see TV because he's that good right now. And how about New Albany having the class of 2018? I realize he transferred, but, I mean, holy cow, you're not supposed to get one of those. You're not supposed to get one of them. And New Albany High potentially had two of them in him and Romeo. That's crazy.
So that would be, if you were down this way a little further, that would be a tremendous story because take Romeo out of the mix. So many, and Trinity has a kid now, last name Heron, that's going to play big-time college football that's from New Albany, but there have been so many New Albany kids go to Trinity. There have been Jeffersonville kids. There have been kids from other schools, and it's a pipeline. There's recruiting that's being done. It just is, and that's a story in itself. Southern Indiana football, some people say, gosh, it's so weak. There's nobody in far southern Indiana that ever makes a run in the state tournament. Well, a lot of the talent's left the area. They went across the river to play, whether it be Trinity or other schools over there as well. They're not guilty either. But that's an interesting story. Rondale Moore, one of the more notable players that did leave, but he is going to do big things at Purdue. I had to bring it up today. I didn't know if you were at the game or not, but just because of some of the moves he had they were all over the place, the replays. I mean, just tremendous juke moves that he is going to put up some big numbers. He's going to be fun to watch. And I'm sure some Indiana fans that don't give a crap about Southern Indiana and that we cover that side of sports on this show as well, they're probably like, God, you're talking so much about Rondale Moore and Purdue. But he's going to be a real pain for Indiana and the Big Ten Conference as long as he's at Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue's record for all-purpose yardage set by Otis Armstrong, who played in the NFL, set in 1972. So that record's been around for 45 years. It was all-purpose yardage, which is kickoff returns, punt returns, running, and receiving. It was 312 yards in one game. That was their record. So for 45 years, Rondale Moore had 302 at halftime. He granted his second half didn't go like the first, but he's something special. I was there and to see it, and yeah, he. It's also, you know, it's one of those deals like Purdue is getting kids like that. They're not getting all of them. Like Alabama, that's all they do is get kids like that. They get 20 of them every year. Purdue got him last year. They've got three or four four-star kids right now coming in next year, including a great athlete out of Tennessee. They're recruiting in ways that Purdue hadn't done. I mean, not ever. So Purdue is not going away. They are not going away.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Greg, final question, final topic. Your buddy Gary Parrish, he hosts a great radio show down in Memphis. He's a great writer, a columnist for CBS Sports, a lot of focus there on basketball and college hoops. He and Matt Norlander do the Candid Coaches series about this time of the summer every year. Are you familiar with that? I'm sure you are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know whichever topic you're about to say. I haven't seen it, but I'm very aware. Gary and I worked together at CBS for 5 years, so yeah.
I think this is the final question that they had out. And again, this is where Division I coaches answer. They're candid, obviously. They know who is replying, but I believe they do, but it's not printed with the quotes or with the story. He asked the coaches that were surveyed, and it was over 100 coaches, Michael Jordan or LeBron James, who is the GOAT, who is the best of all time? And I was surprised. 82% of coaches pick Michael Jordan. Only 18% said LeBron is the best of all times. That must mean the median age, I would say, may be older than what I thought it might be for even some of the assistants that they talked to. But I agree. I grew up watching Michael Jordan play, but I was a little surprised not that Jordan was the winner of that question, but by such a big margin. And I'm also curious who you pick.
Yeah, none of that surprises me. Because of the audience they were at, they were asking coaches. Coaches are all about wins and losses. That is the bottom line with coaches. And yeah, other things matter. I mean, they're not going to ignore talent, but they value nothing more than they value wins and losses. Well, Michael's 6-0 in the NBA Finals, and LeBron has done fine, but not that. So to me, I imagine that was why it was the way it was. So the way I do this argument, and I've written about it before a couple years ago. The rings argument is just too easy. It's just too easy. You know, nobody's got more rings in the last 25 years than Robert Horry. You know, I mean, just the rings argument. It's about how good you are, yes, but it's also about who's around you. The way I phrase it is this way, and I don't think anybody could deny this. There has never been a more perfect specimen put on earth to play basketball than LeBron James. No one has ever shot, rebounded, passed, defended, and had a body like that. It's never happened, and it might happen again. I'm sure it will, but it won't be in my lifetime. So he's the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. Is Michael Jordan the best winner of all time? Of course he is, but there's nobody better than LeBron.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Will you read Rick Pitino's book or new book that came out?
No. I don't, because he's gonna be the victim of that book, right? I mean, Rick Pitino's gonna let everybody know just how wrong Rick Pitino's been, and I don't care.
Gotcha. Understand. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, thanks for the chat. We'll do this again next Tuesday.
All right, Matt. Thanks. Bye.
Coffee Crossing, when you're looking for a great selection coffee downtown New Albany, don't forget about their sister store. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread, great pastries, now serving breakfast and lunch. 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Coffee Crossing brings you Greg Doyle each Tuesday here on the Hoosier Report. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and talk IU Virginia as we look ahead to the weekend with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Also a little football recruiting, and we'll talk some basketball as well. As always, after this, with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com coming up next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Tuesday edition of the program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, always our guest to talk IU football, IU basketball, and more. To start off, football stuff obviously coming out of the weekend and heading into a game, first home game of the season against Virginia. Let's start with football. Greg Doyle and I in the last segment were talking about the big losses of Morgan Ellison and Cole Guest. Of course, Guest announced yesterday in Tom Allen's press conference that he has a torn ACL and will miss the season. Ellison, we were talking about that. Greg thought he saw somewhere a 4-game suspension. I'm not sure that I've seen anything other than indefinite. Is there any guess or date of a return possible for Ellison?
I can't. You know, honestly, that's one thing I can't tell you. I mean, I hear what's going on in the background, but it's something I don't feel comfortable with going public with.
Sure.
But I've heard some people say they don't expect him to ever play again. Some people say he should be back soon. And I don't know exactly what they've determined happened that caused it. But I don't know that he was going to be the big impact that a lot of people are making him out to be based on what I saw in August practice, too. So if he comes back, that'll help the team, obviously, especially with Cole Guest going out. But there's a lot of good running backs, and it was always going to be running back by committee, I think, in Indiana this year. So, it would be helpful. He's probably the most talented guy that they have that plays that position, or at least the most physically developed guy with a lot of talent. But there's still a lot of guys, and this freshman class has got three really good ones, and I think we'll now go to two of them after Stevie Scott played really well on Saturday, and I think they're going to bring up Ronnie Walker, who's actually ranked higher, a 4-star recruit, who's talented too. And so there's options there, but I'll be honest, I'm a little bit uncomfortable talking about something like that and speculating without really being sure what will happen. But it's an interesting situation.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, our guest, starting with IU football. Takeaways from Indiana's win. What do you think went really well? What are some concerns that you have? You follow the team as close as anybody. A lot of times on Tuesday when we would have you on, you would be at fall camp. So I'm curious to hear what you got to say after game one in the books.
Honestly, I think this team is better offensively than we thought going into the year. I think it's got some really good big play guys on offense. Quarterback play has been better than feared. And I think both Peyton Ramsey has played well, and Michael Penix has been better than expected for someone so young. The defense is the question mark. 327 yards given up wasn't good, but yet it wasn't anything like the most porous defenses of IU past. And they had three takeaways, so that's a big deal if they can keep that up. And they have a real leader in Jonathan Crawford, is really an all-conference kind of guy who was responsible in part or solely for two of the three takeaways. I really like the secondary. And Coach Allen kind of pointed out the issues were mainly on the defensive line and linebacker. Linebacker is, the one where they lost two really good players, both, an All-American and a guy who made the Cowboys, and Chris Covington. So that's a real area of concern as they kind of move into a higher level of competition this weekend. And the defensive line, they played 12 guys. They're all okay, but they really didn't get to the quarterback. And they have to do that to, survive in the Big Ten East.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. We're talking IU football to begin the segment. Virginia coming in this weekend, ACC opponent. They've played a couple years ago, I believe, was the last time the two programs met. But it's obviously a challenge for Indiana on their home field to start that portion of their schedule.
Yeah, Virginia had a nice opener. There wasn't a great competition in cross-state rival Richmond, but they lost to them 2 years ago. So to beat them by almost 30 points, and their quarterback played really well. Bryce Perkins, he ran for quite a few yards and threw for a couple touchdowns. I think he ran for a couple, threw for a couple. He really had he's a junior college transfer, so he's a little bit under the radar, but he looked outstanding in in the opener, and is a real threat. The kind of guy we'll have to watch on Saturday, see if Indiana can contain him. And we'll have to get that W.
I know Indiana is going to dedicate Excellence Academy. We've talked about that some inside of Memorial Stadium on Friday before the home game. That's a momentum booster for the football program. And I know some fans say, hey, what are some of these improvements in Memorial Stadium? talk a little bit about what that does for the football program at Indiana.
Well, it just makes it look so much more nicer to have a full bowl in there. You got a glass area in the front, and you got some seats. It looks a little bit like the new south side of Assembly Hall, where you've got an area that you can walk around and then you can walk out to a few rows of seats. But in there, they got a new cafeteria, new medical rehab areas are just out of this world, the latest in technology. It really looks nice, academic area. Just, really good for a lot of the programs, not just football. But, new scoreboard down there. I haven't really seen it in action, but I hear great things. And it's just, looking forward to seeing how it comes together on Saturday.
And also an IU football recruiting note, I saw a story on your site over the weekend about the number one football recruit in the 2020 class from Carmel. I believe it's Cole. Is it Brevard? Am I saying that correctly? Cole Brevard. He is saying he's going to take a visit to Indiana. That's obviously good news for the Hoosiers, especially as Coach Allen tries to use his former connections with high school coaches in the state, being a former high school coach in the state, to make a heavy presence with who Indiana is involved with and ultimately who Indiana can land from within the Hoosier state boundaries.
Yeah, he's a defensive tackle, and that's an area of need for the Hoosiers. So he would be an answer there. He's number seven defensive tackle in the country, top 120 in the whole of every player in the country. He just visited Notre Dame, and of course you got Ohio State, Penn State, and a lot of big schools trying for him. But to get him in early, he's still just a junior. Is going to be really helpful to their chances next year when he makes a decision. you know, if he likes what he sees on the field, again, that's, you know, recruiting is what has to be based on what how your team does. And if Indiana makes a bowl, maybe they can start to have the momentum and get some of these top three or four guys in the state, which they really have struggled with. I mean, you already saw the impact of Mr. Football, Reese Taylor, in that game Saturday. I mean, he made the play that kind of got the Cougars going, 32-yard gain, even played some defense at corner. You land the best players in the state, Indiana can be a tremendous program.
And just like we talked with Romeo, having Reese Taylor and having him have a nice performance right out of the gate as a freshman in game one, that stuff helps you recruit the state of Indiana. No matter what Indiana's record is this year, no matter how hard or much focus the coaches give to certain players, getting the best from here, getting a Mr. Football, Mr. Basketball, it's just common sense. It helps in your future endeavors here in the state.
Yeah, you land one or two, then you land more. Because that guy's there for that recruiting trip. You know, Reese Taylor is there when Cole Brevard comes in for his visit, and some of the other guys that they've landed in the state. You know, and we saw in the state of Florida, it's a trickle. And once you get a whole bunch of those guys down there because they want to play with their friends. The friends really give them the insight of what it's like there day to day, and they feel comfortable jumping into or going to a school that where they know people and trust the situation. And so, see if they can get the momentum going with some of these Indianapolis area guys that have been, you know, that the Ohio States and Notre Dame's and Michigan's have been stealing away. And Cole Brevard is one guy that they're going to have a real good shot at.
We're talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. By the way, before we get into a couple basketball things, I'm watching, and I didn't get to watch all of it live, but I'm watching the IU football game, and I see Pegs.com on the screen, man. You got a big national shout-out, man. How about that?
Yeah, it kept reappearing. They didn't even tell us they were going to do that, so I was like, wow, that's nice. Yeah, they kept repeating it, and a lot of people commented about it on Twitter and on the message board. So that was nice, and it was one good time to have that short little, you know, five character URL, because that was one of the reasons I picked it way back when was, hey, it's only five characters. People can't forget that when they're at their browser or what have you.
They left off my term, though, the original. Is what I call you. So they didn't put that on the graphic, but we'll let that slide. Hey, a couple basketball things. Keon Brooks, yeah, coming out of the weekend, was at UCLA. Trace Jackson Davis was there as well. And Keon announcing that he's going to take, and there's no big surprise here, but announcing he's going to take in early November an official visit to North Carolina. Interesting that, and they're obviously still very involved in his recruitment. Interesting he's added that as one of his visits. And I guess, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, there's so much talk around IU for him that I think sometimes we forget he is considering and talking and visiting other schools. But even though Indiana obviously is in a good place with Keon Brooks, he seems, I don't want to say more willing, but more open. And maybe that's completely unfair to Trace Jackson Davis to say that, because I think he's been branded so hard as someone that Indiana has just worked its tail off with. But nonetheless, I thought it was interesting to see that Keon Brooks will take an official visit to North Carolina in November, and I was curious your thoughts.
Well, it's always dangerous for someone to visit North Carolina because they have such tradition and such a beautiful campus and all these NBA players that they can, you know, run through with a recruit. So that's a significant development. And they aren't nearly as far away as UCLA. So it's a place that the family can get to a few times a year versus, you know, really going to a lot of trouble to get out to Southern California. And so I view them as a definite threat there. And like you said, Keon is not, I don't think as, you know, open might be a good word for it, but also I think he's just not thinking about where he's going to go, you know, right now as much as other players, other prospects in that senior class. But, in the end, I still think Indiana and Michigan State are going to be the teams to merge. But North Carolina is a real threat, something that, could change, where a visit could really change things. And but he did have a real good time at UCLA, but we just, as a staff, have talked about it and really think that might be too far away for him, too far away for his family. But but we'll have to see, because they have their own set of long list of NBA players, and of course it's all, you know, the weather out there is outstanding, as we all know. So, you know, as we saw with Chris Wilkes, you know, you can convince somebody that to go the distance because of what it's like out there.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, is our guest. Continuing on with some basketball recruiting stuff, in the summer, I always start and kind of go through each class, one class a week in our interview opportunities when things were a little slower than what they are now. So this kind of came up when we were talking about the 2020 class, which is now guys that are juniors in high school getting ready for their junior season of high school basketball in the state of Indiana. Reading a story from Kyle Neddenrip, and Kyle and I have kind of mentioned this before when he joins me on Friday, but you look through the rankings, you know, 24/7 Sports, Rivals.com, the big ESPN, the big national rankings, and he went back, I guess, as far as he could really get consistent information, which is back to 2010. And as far as players from the state of Indiana, there have always been someone in the top 50. At times, there have been multiple players, sometimes just one. But in the 2020 class, based on the most recent rankings that have come out, nobody in that top 50 for the class of 2020. Obviously, 2019, you've got Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis in the top 15, according to the 24/7 Sports. But in 2020, no player has emerged to take that national stage, and I guess there's the chance that nobody does. I'm curious your thoughts, because so much in-state recruiting matters, so much in-state emphasis has been given to Archie Miller. The fans have expectations for in-state recruiting. But if you have a class where there's some really good players but not a top 50, that's a little different look for Indiana than what it has been.
Yeah, we do have these classes every once in a while that aren't terrific. But it seems like there's been one exception, one guy or something like that, like Kyle talks about, writes about, that it is a top 50. But no, I don't. This junior class is that definitely not the case, and it's getting so late now that I don't know if that'll change. There are some guys to watch out for that maybe, you know, we haven't talked a lot about, like Jaden Ivey from Mishawaka is actually a really good shooter. I think Indiana really likes him, and there might be some specialty guys like that that you think, you know, you watch and they get a little bit better and end up being a top 50. I mean, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, took him a while before he kind of pushed towards the five-star area in his high school career. So it's not a good class. I don't know. You know, the odds, you know, things go up and down with talent, and this just hasn't developed into a really good class. But it has some guards in there, and I think Indiana will probably end up with one of those guards because, you know, I think that they continue to need guards, which is unusual because there's so many guards out there, but there's always good guards in Indiana, but it's not a good class, Matt.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, always with us Tuesdays. We cover a lot of ground as far as IU storylines, both football and basketball go. I'm just glad you answered our call today after all of the big-time national publicity there on the CBS sports broadcast. Great to catch up. We'll do it again next week. Interesting football game this weekend for Indiana. We'll talk more about that later in the week with Jeff Rabjohns and Mike Weaver, and talk with you again next week.
All right, we'll talk to you Tuesday again. Thank you.
Again, Mike Pegram, one of the originals out there covering IU as far as on the internet goes. Been at it for years and years and years. Okay, that will wrap things up basically for today's show. Thanks for being with us. Just a couple reminders. First off, we podcast everything. If you miss a show, you miss a segment, there's a couple real easy ways to check us out. SoundCloud is one way. You can point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You could also search for us on Apple Podcasts. Just type in the Hoosier Report. Leave us a rating and a review, if you will. It'll help us reach others that might be interested in our show about IU and Southern Indiana sports. Don't forget as well, Kentuckiana Football Friday coming up this week. I know we are still a number of days away, but I want to put those reminders out to you. We've got wall-to-wall coverage of football on both sides of the river with a focus during the play-by-play portion of the night on some of the big New Albany, big area games, and I should say one of our games this week, New Albany and Bedford. That is going to be an interesting game. maybe New Albany's first potential challenge of the season, a big Hoosier Hills Conference game as far as standings go. That will be one of the games that we focus on this week on Kentuckiana Football Friday. Kickoff show starts at 6. Scoreboard show starts when all the games go final. We focus on both sides of the river on that kickoff and scoreboard show. It's also available for you to listen on 93.9. The Ville as well. Have a great day. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to those of you as well that were with us yesterday on the holiday. We had a live show Monday. We'll be back every day this week as well. That wraps it up for today. I'll be back with you tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.